Oh, for the Lord is good and gracious. Grab on to His grace. His grace opens doors that the enemy closes. His grace fills the gap of things that seem so far away. Oh, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. My grace to you is a gift that keeps on giving so you can keep on living. My grace will strengthen you, lift you up when you are down, fill you up when you are empty, carry you when you can't go on. It will see you through, for my grace is sufficient in all you do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anointing is the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. Say, the anointing is for me. The anointing is for me to use. It's for me to use to help other people. Say, I'm anointed to help other people. There's an anointing in me. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, here's some things that the anointing does. The anointing, according to Psalm 23:5, David says, He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. The anointing brings overflow. The anointing brings increase. Okay? Hebrews 1:9 says, talks about he anointed him with the oil of joy. Anointing brings joy. It enhances your joy, and God gives you his joy. According to Psalm 92:10, talks about being anointed with fresh oil. How many know that God is never stale? God's word is not stale. It's fresh. How many could use a fresh word from God? A fresh anointing. Well, tonight you can get an oil change. And the anointing is excessive strength. Everybody say excessive strength. Because it comes from God. According to 1 John 2:20, we are anointed by the Holy One and we know all things. So the anointing increases knowledge. The anointing increases knowledge. Okay? The anointing is transferable, according to John 16:14. Jesus said his Father would take what is his and transmit it to you. And the Holy Spirit is the transfer agent. Okay? The anointing is transferable. The anointing gives us ability to function. Jesus was anointed to preach good news. He was anointed to set captives free. He was anointed to bind up wounds. He was anointed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The anointing caused him to function. Okay? The anointing is precious. It's valuable. It's worthy of investment of time. How do you increase the anointing in your life? Spend more time with it. Spend more time with it. I like this. According to 1 Corinthians 1:21 and 22, the anointing is ownership DNA. It says God's anointing in us is his seal of ownership on us. The anointing is ownership DNA. Hallelujah. Okay, go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we are going to look at some things that the anointing does, because Christ is the strength of Christianity, right? The strength of Christianity is Christ. It's the anointed one and his anointing. And that is the strength of Christianity. And in 1 John chapter 2, and this is just going to be, we're going to cover the ABCs of the anointing. All right? I just got it listed alphabetically. Okay? So you ready? You ready to increase in the anointing? Amen. 1 John chapter 2, and let's start with verse 1. My little children, did you know that we're always God's children? Notice he says, my little children. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? An advocate with the Father, who? I want you to pay attention to that. Jesus Christ, the righteous. So Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing is righteous. So the anointing is your advocate with the Father. When we miss the mark, anybody ever here miss the mark? We have an advocate with the Father. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus Christ, he is our defense attorney. And when Satan accuses you, he presents to the Father, he's our advocate. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. He says, Father, I present to you my blood as evidence. Because we're overcomers by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And in that context, he's talking about the accuser of the brethren. Say, I overcome the accuser. See, he is our advocate. Verse 2 says, he's the propitiation of our sins. He took our sins. What did he do with them? What did he do with our sins? He took them away. Behold, the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sins of the world. It's Jesus, the anointed one, is our advocate with the Father. Verse 3, hereby we do know him. We do know that we know him. How many know that you know him? You know that you know that you know. How do you know him? Because we keep his commandments. Proof of love for God is our obedience. If you love me, Jesus said what? Keep my commands. If you love the anointing always works with the word, never part of it, never away from it. Always in conjunction with the word of God. The word of God is the manual on the anointing. Teaches us how to operate in it, what is it, how to use it. Amen? So the anointing, it's the advocacy of Christ. The anointing advocates on your behalf. The anointing defends you. The anointing promotes you. The anointing raises you up. Jesus Christ, he is the anointed one and his anointing. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. So you got to know that the anointing is your advocate, right? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says that you may approve things that are excellent. that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. How long shall you be without offense? Till the day of Christ. Never give place to offense. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? Jesus, the anointed one. I want you to get the picture that Christ is the anointed one. And unto the glory and praise of God. So, there is an attitude of the anointing. What's the attitude of the anointing? The attitude of Christ. Number one, you got to approve the things that are excellent. How do you know what's excellent? Anything that is of God is excellent. What did they say about Daniel? Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. An excellent spirit. And God helped him. God gave him favor. Okay? So the attitude of the anointing, it's, you have to be sincere. You know, God loves things that are real, not fake. You know what Jesus called fake people? Hypocrites. He labeled a bunch of religious leaders. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. Because they were putting on a show, like someone acting in a play. They're playing a character. So the attitude of the anointing is you approve the things that are excellent and that you are sincere, genuine. Paul told Timothy, he talked about his unfeigned faith, his faith that was genuine. It was real because it was based in the Word of God. See, if we want to operate in the anointing, we have to be sincere. We have to be real. Jesus said, in me there is no darkness. Okay? The attitude of the anointing is to be without offense till the day of Christ. Don't get offended. Offense is a choice. You choose to let the devil mess up your day by something that is really little. You know what happens? Something little can happen. It's like a molehill, but then it becomes a mountain. But you know what? God told Zerubbabel that the mountains will be made into molehills by the Holy Spirit. So the anointing makes things that seem big real small. But that's the attitude of the anointing. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? Of course, we have the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? We have the fruitfulness that God wants us to be. When we abide in Christ and He abides in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done to us, and so that we can be fruitful. You know, God loves your fruitfulness. And if you're not producing the right fruit, you better check the root. Fruits of righteousness. People who are strong in the anointing have fruits of righteousness that are constantly and continually being developed, which are by Jesus Christ. These are by the anointing. Unto the glory and praise of God. When you're sincere, when you're approving things that are excellent, when you're being filled with, notice being filled, not was filled. Being speaks of every day. How many had breakfast today? Or lunch? Or how many had a meal today? Right? How many plan to have a meal tomorrow? How many plan to have a meal every day unless you're fasting? Right? Why do we have to eat every day? To maintain our strength and our vitality. Guess what? You got to eat spiritually every day too. God told Joshua, if you want to be successful and be prosperous, you got to meditate in the word how often? Day and night. And you got to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Philippians' neighbor. They live on the same block. Colossians chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 12. We're talking about what is the attitude of someone who is anointed. You know, if you're going to represent the anointing, which is Jesus Christ, then there's a certain way that you have to carry yourself. Amen? You got to walk in love. You got to be filled with joy. The Bible says the Spirit of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is the righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the whole package. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore. Does that sound like a choice? What attitude am I going to have today? Are you going to allow the circumstances of this world to determine what type of attitude you have? Well, if that person wouldn't have did this, and if that person wouldn't have did that, no. Your attitude is not based on other people. Your attitude is your own choice. So, beloved, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. How many has elected to follow God? Right? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. How often is the Lord's mercy? It's new every morning, right? So when you woke up today, God had a fresh batch of mercy waiting for you because he knew that we're going to need it. So we have to put on bowels of mercy. That means we got to have compassion on people. Did the Lord have compassion? Absolutely. Okay? Then what else? We got to be kind. Kindness. You know, kindness is important. Being kind to someone else. Humble. Humbleness of mind. Not thinking so highly of yourself. Humbleness is not to do without, but it's completely trusting in God. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. You know what? Every one of us have strengths and weaknesses, right? Sometimes our weaknesses manifest themselves. And you may be having a weak moment, and so guess what? The rest of us have got to forbear with you. Just like the Lord has forbearing with you. Do you know how much the Lord has put up with us, from us? Forbearance. It's funny that that follows long-suffering. You know how we're supposed to long-suffer with people? With joy. You know, I mean, Jesus had some disciples. He had some disciples that wanted to call fire down on people. He had disciples that said, I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll be with you always. And then they ended up denying him. He had disciples that doubted him. He had disciples that, you know, I could just see the Lord sometimes. But what did he do? He worked with them. He made allowances for them, right? He corrected them. He worked with them. He made allowances for them. He corrected them. That's what we got to do. If you want to walk in the anointing, this is what we got to do. This is the character of an anointed individual. See, God doesn't take his anointing lightly, neither should we. His anointing is precious. It's his power. And he anoints us for a purpose. Because the anointing is Christ, and so our attitude and our character have to reflect Christ. And sometimes God will, he will have you go through some things until you operate fully in that anointing that he's given you. When David was anointed king, did he sit on the throne the next day? No. He was anointed king in his father's house, and he wasn't even invited to the meal. Samuel looked at all the sons of Jesse, and the Lord says, no, 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 no. And Samuel says, you got any other sons? Jesse said, yeah, there's one out in the field. Why wasn't David invited? But yet, he was anointed to be king, but he did not become king right then, although he was anointed to be king. Why? You got to learn how to function in the anointing. God's not going to anoint you today and put you in the position tomorrow. He's got to be able to trust you with his anointing. Amen? Why? You know, there were some people that lost their anointing. Did you know that King Saul, although he was anointed king, lost his anointing through his disobedience? When he was told to kill all the Amalekites, and he didn't, he lost his anointing to be king. What happened? When the anointing left him, an evil spirit came to him to torment him. Because the anointing was gone. Even though he was still king, he was still in the position. But the anointing that God put on him was gone because of his bad choice. He did not reflect the character of one that was to carry the anointing. Listen, when God anoints a person, there's responsibility with it. Come on. When we're anointed, we just can't live any way that we want to. We just can't do anything that we want to. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Oh. If any man have a quarrel against who? Any. If you got problems with a brother and sister, you better release them. Forgive them. Once you forgive them, it unravels you from them. They may be wrong, but your forgiveness of them, and see, you can do it because Christ forgave us. Who forgave us? Christ, the anointed one. The anointing forgave us. And because we're forgiven, we can forgive others. If you say you can't, then you're rejecting God's forgiveness. And, see, because we're supposed to, oh, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as who forgave you? What's that word? Christ, the anointed one. And then verse 14, and above all these things, put on what? Charity or love. Listen, if you want to increase in the anointing, you got to increase in your love walk. You got to walk in love. Stop blaming other people for what's going on with you. They're probably not the cause of it. You know, sometimes We can be our own worst enemies. When we allow bad attitudes to rest in us, Satan doesn't have to do anything. We're doing his job for us. I don't want to do Satan's job. Amen? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thought I was coming Wednesday night refreshing, not a character adjustment. Sometimes in order to be refreshed, our character needs to be worked on. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. We're talking about the attitude of the anointing, or the attitude of Christ. If you're going to carry the anointing, you got to act like Christ. You got to talk like Christ. Christ doesn't talk defeat. He doesn't talk the problem. Do you ever read through the Gospels and Christ is just focusing on the problem? No, he was a problem solver. People came to him with their problem and they left without it. If you're going to carry the anointing, you've got to act like the anointed one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil. Yeah, but if they punch me in the face, I'm going to punch them back. You're rendering evil for evil. Now, there may be a time when you can defend yourself. But, you know, turning the other cheek has to do with persecution. Not someone to try to do you harm. Right. Turning the other cheek is in the context of when you're standing up and you're proclaiming Christ and you're being persecuted for it. I'll never forget my friend in Illinois. He was older than me, but we became good friends. And he built this cross that we would carry to all the public functions, the events. And one night, we were at this, I don't know, it was the Taste of whatever. They had a carnival, they had food booths, you know, and we were carrying this cross. And some people really don't know how to take someone carrying the cross, you know. But I'm telling, you know what, if you're going to be a fanatic for Jesus. I mean, what do we have to be ashamed about? We ought to be able to talk about Jesus bold, loud, in public places. Amen. This is Christ, the anointed one. And There were some kids, you know, they were kind of circling around us. And some were, you know, they were trying to kick the cross, whatever. You know, we would carry the cross and pass out tracts and just tell people about Jesus. Well, there was a carnival operator who was operating one of the rides. It was a lady. And she got in between them and us, and she was telling the kids, "You better listen to what they're saying." I was like, "You go, girl." A carnival operator came to our defense. Amen? Listen, when you take a stand for God, God will have people stand up for you. See that you don't render evil for evil. Listen, evil is not anointed. And when you're rendering evil for evil, you're getting on the devil's playground. The anointing is righteous, not evil. You want to give someone a piece of your mind? Well, that's one piece of mind that you'll lose. See that none of you render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Another characteristic of the anointing is rejoice evermore. I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, then offer a sacrifice of praise then. Rejoice evermore. Do you have the ability to rejoice? If Christ is in you, you can rejoice in the worst possible moments. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean pray 24 hours a day? It means no. Just be in constant communication with God. Amen? If you're doing dishes, you can pray in tongues. You have the most clean dishes you ever will have. In everything, do what? Give thanks. You know, anointed people are grateful people. And when we're anointed, we have to be giving thanks. Always give. You know, look at the people. Look, there were 10 lepers. And they were across the street and they saw Jesus and they called out to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, go to the priest and show yourself and you'll be clean. As they're walking away, 1 out of 10, 10%. Notice that something was happening in them. So he came back and he offered thanks to the anointed one for his anointing. And Jesus said, weren't there 10? How come only one is given thanks? What happened to the one that gave thanks? He was made whole. The others, the leprosy stopped, but this guy was made whole. I believe he was restored because he gave thanks. What should you give thanks in? Everything. Are you giving thanks for the bad things? No, you're giving thanks to God to get you through the bad things. You're not thanking because the bad things are happening. You're thanking them that you have someone who can get you through the bad things. This is the will of God, where? In Christ, in the anointed one and his anointing. This is the will of God. In Christ Jesus, concerning who? You, me. God, it's God's will. Not to render evil for evil. Follow that which is good. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. This is God's will. Why? Because that means you're being just like Jesus was. And when you be like Jesus was, you get his power. You get his glory. You get his reward. Amen? It pays to be like Jesus. Quench not the Spirit. Boy, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's the agent of the anointing. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? When he prompts you, you either disobey or you delay in obeying. No. Why don't you do this? No. I don't want to. Or the Holy Spirit speaks, he says, I don't feel like it. God never asked anyone how they felt when he gave them a command. He gives us a command and it's up to us to obey it or not. Amen? Are you here tonight? Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. What does that mean? Does it line up with the word? The way to keep the anointing strong is stay connected to the word. Don't get away from the word. Prove all things. How do you prove it? Does it line up with the word? If it's not in the word, you throw it out. The word is the standard. Jesus is the word. He was the Word made flesh. Hold fast to that which is good. God is good. So hold fast to God, right? Be firm on your grip. Get a firm grip on God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What does abstain mean? Don't do it. If it looks evil, don't do it. If it sounds evil, don't say it. I just learned something yesterday. Did you know that in Eve's conversation with the devil in the garden, she used the same term of God that the devil used about he's just an ordinary God? She said the same thing about God that the devil did. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but this is something I learned yesterday. Okay, what's going to happen when you do all these things? Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. All right? So the attitude of the anointing. All right, let me go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Did you know that the anointing calls you? The anointing's got your number. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul the great apostle. No, Paul the servant. A servant of who? Jesus Christ. Paul served the anointing. Jesus, the anointed one. Paul, a servant of the anointing, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When God calls you, he calls people who serve. He calls the faithful. Paul was a servant. Paul went in places that no one had gone. Paul was Star Trek, to boldly go where no man has gone before, to preach the gospel of God, to build churches. Isn't that what he did? He said, I'm a master builder. I lay the foundation that no man has, you know, I don't build on another man's foundation. I lay the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets. So when the anointing calls you to a position, he'll separate you. There'll be a time of separation where you'll get separated unto that call. Acts 13. They were worshiping the Lord, ministering to God, and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work I have called them to. I remember when I was called. I remember when the Lord spoke to me. He gave me the instruction. And my flesh was getting very impatient because there was a lot of time between the call and the instruction and the position. Why does it take so long to get in the position? Because God's working out the call in you. He's making sure that your character will carry you to where you're called. Because if you don't have the character, you will self-destruct. Verse 2. He was separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus the Anointed One. Our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The anointing is powerful. It is the power of God. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Where? In Christ Jesus, in the anointed one and his anointing. There is a high calling of the anointing. But if you want to answer the high call, it won't come without sacrifice. You got to count the cost. Once you get the call, you got to count the cost to see if you want to finish the call or not. There is a high calling of God in the anointing. God is calling people to a greater level of anointing. You know what? We're living in a day and hour. We need the anointing of God. Because God has put us in places and with people that need the anointing. And God needs a vessel for the anointing to flow through. And the anointing is a high calling. Only those who are sent are anointed. Romans 10:15. Let's go there. Romans 10:15. There's a difference between went and sent. You know, some people go when they're not sent and they're not anointed. Romans 10. Let's go back up to verse 14. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him, the anointed one, in whom they have not believed? A person can't call on him unless they believe in him. Okay? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Faith comes by what? Hearing. God needs someone to send his message. What did Jesus do in Matthew 4? He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Why did Jesus go around teaching? Because people didn't know about the kingdom. So he had to teach them about the kingdom. He had to proclaim the good news of the kingdom so that they could reap the benefits of the kingdom. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. I would venture to say that not every preacher who's preaching today was sent. Some do it for personal gain. Some do it for other reasons. Right? Paul talked about that. He said, some preach Christ out of gain, some preach Christ out of another reason, but he said, thank God that Christ is being preached. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But God needs some anointed vessels that he can send. See, when you're sent, you're under the authority of Jesus. What did Jesus do with his disciples? He sent them. How did he send them? Raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Jesus sent them. He sent them with power. He sent them with authority. He anointed them. He let them use his anointing. And then again, he sent out 70. And the 70, when they came back, they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. See, when you're sent, you're operating under his authority and power. and you're going to see results. But if you just go on your own, you're not going to see the results. God made his greatest investment in us. He anointed us. We have his treasure in earthen vessels. Do you believe that you're anointed tonight? You're anointed because the anointing lives within you. Now, what are you doing with that anointing? You use the anointing to defeat the enemy. You use the anointing to promote Jesus. You use the anointing to gain the victory over enemies. David used the anointing. He used the anointing before the anointing was ever in him. He didn't have the anointing in him. Daniel didn't have the anointing in him. Joseph didn't have the anointing in him. They had it on him, but they didn't have it in him. We have the anointing in us. He who is in you is greater. What's on the inside of you is greater than any challenge out here. So why do we struggle? We got to tap into the anointing. Declaring God's word. Using divine strategies that the Holy Spirit gives you. You know, when God created, or when they built the tabernacle, God led them to anoint the utensils. But that doesn't mean that today we need to go and pour oil on all the utensils. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do it. You can't just do it because they did it. How does God want you to do it now? Today? God may have a different strategy. It's different from the anointing being on you versus the anointing being in you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. We have the anointing. The yoke-destroying, burden-removing power in us. You can access the anointing anytime, any place, anywhere. It's right here, inside of you. But what I'm talking about is how to keep that anointing strong. You know, if you never comb your hair will get messed up. Is that true? I mean, unless your hair is short like mine. But, okay, if you never maintain your car, that car will drive, but it's going to come to a point where it's going to break down. Why? Because it has lack of maintenance. I'm talking about maintaining the anointing. You know, you got to maintain the glow. Every one of us has the glow on the inside of us. You got the glow to go. And that glow will show when you need it to. Amen? Say, I'm anointed. Say, have Christ in me. I have the anointed one and his anointing in me. You can't live like the devil and maintain your anointing. You can't talk like the world and maintain your anointing. You can't just do your will and maintain the anointing. Amen? You got to be sold out. You got to be fully invested. Whole heart, whole soul, whole mind. All your strength. That's how much Christ is invested in you. Amen? Thank God for the anointing. He called us with the anointing. He equipped us with the anointing. And there are times when we got to stir the anointing up. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Some of you got some gifts, but you let it go dormant. You got to stir it up. I'll use this illustration, then I'm done for tonight. You could take a nice ice-cold glass of milk and take some fresh Hershey's syrup, right? And you could pour that syrup into that milk, but that milk does not become chocolate milk simply by pouring the syrup into the milk. You got to then, once you pour the syrup in, it's in there, but you got to take a spoon and you got to stir what's on the inside up, and then it changes the color of the milk, and the white milk turns brown and becomes chocolate. It didn't become chocolate milk simply by pouring it in. It became chocolate by stirring it up. So if anything tonight, I want you to stir yourselves up tonight. So who could use a fresh anointing tonight? God wants to anoint you with fresh oil tonight. Amen? Just a fresh touch, a fresh invigoration. He wants to flick your bick. You know, you flick the bick and the flame comes out, right? The flame doesn't come out unless you strike the metal and the flint. Right? Became very popular. So tonight, there is a fresh anointing for you. And you're already, the anointing's already in you. You just kind of need to stir yourself up a little bit. It is possible to neglect the gift that God put in you. Because he told Timothy, he said, don't neglect the gift in you. There are a lot of Christians that neglect the gift. They disconnect themselves from the source of the anointing. You know, they keep themselves away for whatever reason. Listen. Christ is the anointed one. You got to go where he goes. You got to go where he is. Oh, but Christ is everywhere. Yeah, but he's not manifesting himself everywhere. So if you need a fresh anointing tonight, I believe with all my heart that there is a fresh anointing from God for you. So when you come up here tonight, it's going to be real quick. You just have to receive. Amen? You come up here with the attitude, I believe I receive the fresh touch of Almighty God. Amen? So if that's you, just come on up right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil's going to get nervous. Oh, he said, those people coming out of victory tonight. Woo! Fresh touch in Jesus' name. Fresh overflow and outpour in Jesus' name. Fresh touch, fresh filling, fresh fire, fire, fire. Fresh strength in Jesus' name. Fresh victory in Jesus' name. Fresh vitality. Fresh joy. Hallelujah. Shorobo kasanda. Rabakosanda. Fresh touch in Jesus' name. Fresh touch from the Almighty in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fresh touch. Fresh strength. Fresh fire. Oh, in Jesus' name, fresh touch.